thank the Felber clan for all that they're doing to contribute. Thank you so much, Brother Felber.
Amen.
All right. You know, that song, Jesus is Coming Again, I don't know how many of you have ever studied it out in the Bible. I remember there was a summer where I began teaching the children at the camp about Jesus coming again, because they'd never heard that down in that section of Mexico and U.S. And the more I prepared and the more I studied, the more fearful I became that I would not have a chance to present all of that work, because his coming became so imminent in my mind. So when I hear that song, I like to sing that song, because he is coming again. This morning, if you will, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at a portion of the Sermon on the Mount, because our Lord Jesus Christ had something he wanted to teach, something that he felt was very important. And in order to do that, he needed to communicate with the people. And I hope, it is my prayer, that I will be able to communicate with each one of you this morning. Because the message that he brought is a very important message. It's a message that we need. It's a message that we need to apply to our lives. Matthew chapter 6, we'll start with verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What's the most important thing in your life this morning? I know what all the right words are, but let's push all the right words aside and let's look into our own hearts. What is the most important thing to you in your life this morning? Could it be a person? A particular person? It's possible. Or is the most important thing in your life a relationship? Perhaps family or spouse are most important to you. Maybe your home or vocation is your priority in life. This morning we need to consider what is the most important thing to each one of us, and to determine if we are being true to our priorities. Excuse me. As we consider our priorities, let me ask a question. Are there things that you would really like to do, but you cannot do either because of finances or time constraints? Could something on your bucket list be your priority in life? There are people who want to travel. There are people who want to experience new experiences. I guess that's why people ride a roller coaster. I can't get my wife near a roller coaster. She breaks out in a rash if I even mention it. There was a time when we went to this place in Atlanta called Six Flags. I don't know how many of you have ever been there. But they have the Great American Scream Machine. It's Six Flags. And the particular day that we went there, it was crowded. When we got in line, the wait was probably an hour to an hour and a half. The line snaked all the way through and then back along the sidewalks and stuff. And we had gotten up so we could actually see where you get on the ride, but we were still a long ways from it, a long time from it. And I looked, And from where you boarded the roller coaster, there was a little garden snake came out. And I said, oh, look, there's a snake. We were the next ones on the ride. So from now on, if you go to Six Flags, take a snake with you. May I make an observation about your priorities? Your real priorities are measured by what you spend most of your time on. Now, something near the top of your, if you were to sit down and you were to make a log and you listed everything that you do for a week, put the amount of time that you spend at that, and sleep would probably come pretty close to the top of your priority list. And then it could be if you're working, it could be your job, it could be anything, it could be family. For some, it would be job. For some, it would be your mate. For some, it could be activities such as television or a pet or a hobby. If we were to be truthful with ourselves, we could sit down and make that log hour by hour, and then we could go back and add up all the activities, and that would show us what our real priorities are. There are activities that involve more than one thing. You say, you know, I used to think that I could not multitask anymore. When you have so many birthdays, multitasking becomes more and more problem. And pretty soon you have to concentrate on one task and get that complete before you know. I discovered that I can still multitask. I can watch TV and I can eat. And I can study and I can eat. And I can work and I can eat. And I can sleep and I can dream about eating. So I still have the ability to multitask. Jesus had some pretty definite thoughts about the priorities that people set for their lives. This morning we're going to look at ourselves just to see if we need to make any changes as to the way we go about things and the way we set priorities in our life. This morning, we're going to look at ourselves. But before we do that, let's go to the Lord. Let's ask Him to help us to see the truth in each of our hearts. Father, we want to please You. And Father, we want to do the things that You would have us to do. And Father, we do spend time in Your Word. And we read what it says, and then, Father, we want to make application this morning. As we look at what Jesus taught there on that mountain so long ago, may we see the truth, and may we see how it applies to our lives. May Your Holy Spirit guide and direct. And we will praise You, Father, for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen. When Jesus taught there on that mountain that morning, the people were sort of shocked. They'd never heard anybody speak this way. He spoke with authority. He spoke like he actually knew what he was talking about. He spoke in terms that were understandable. No high, glossy words or anything. He spoke as though He was talking to them. He said things that touched their hearts, things they thought about but never really talked with anybody about. You know, for each one of us, our religious beliefs are pretty personal. And most of the time, we don't want somebody else meddling with them. But as we look at this message this morning, this Sermon on the Mount that Jesus taught, this particular aspect about it, we do want to look at our own lives. We do want to look at our own relationships with Jesus, with our Heavenly Father, with God's Holy Spirit living here within us. Because there should be some kind of a relationship there. Can you believe that there are people that won't even let Jesus interfere with their life? Even if it means that they will spend eternity in hell? You know, you can actually find people like that in most churches. I'm going to do it my way, and I'm not going to budge for any reason. Jesus said and taught some things that many people don't want to hear or think about because they really have their own agenda. They really have the things that they want their life to be all about, and they do not want anybody to take control. Remember when you were a small child and mom and dad would tell you where you could go and when you could go there and when you had to come home? Ever get unhappy with mom and dad? Because you had your own desires. You wished you could do this or you wanted to do that. And they wouldn't let you. Because they didn't want you getting hurt. And they didn't want you getting hurt because they loved you. After all, they were mom and dad. You know, we've got a Heavenly Father. He doesn't want us getting hurt. We've got a Savior, a Lord and Master. He doesn't want you getting hurt. And because He doesn't want you getting hurt, He wants to set up some priorities in your life that would be good for you. Maybe not in line with what you're thinking right now, but they would be good for you. And so I'm going to read 11 verses of Scripture. You're in Matthew 6. We're going to start at verse 24, and we're going to read down through verse 34. I'm going to talk a little bit about what we just read. Read along with me in your Bible. Matthew 6, beginning at verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, or what ye yet for, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your Heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall not he much more clothe you? O ye of little faith! Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, nor withal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your Heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now this passage was part of the Sermon on the Mount. The people of that time did not understand what Jesus was talking about. They left that mountainside stunned by what they had heard, but also puzzled by what Jesus meant by most of what he had said. And I think I can tell you quite candidly this morning, the people who call themselves Christians still may have problems with this passage of Scripture. As I have matured over the last 56 years since I became a Christian on that November 1st of 5th of 1961, I'm convinced that as much as 90 to 95% of those who name the name of Jesus do not understand what Jesus expected us to learn is a part of that scripture. When I started this message, I made the same mistake that a lot of people make. When they read this passage, what I just read is a paragraph of scripture. Scripture didn't come in verses and chapters. Most of it was letters. But men have arranged it that way to make it more convenient for us. And so what we have just read was a paragraph of Scripture. And I've heard men build a message on just verse 24. I've heard sermons based on verse 34. But I believe if we break up this passage that we're going to miss the real point that Jesus wanted us to get. I almost began this message with verse 27. I would not have rightly divided the word of truth had I started there. Jesus wants every one of his disciples, that's you and I, to understand and practice this biblical principle. It's huge. It's life-changing. It's the difference between living for Jesus and living for the world. Every word that Jesus spoke had significance. Every word that we find in Scripture is of great importance. God has gone to great effort to preserve his word and to bring it to us down through the years and to have it translated into the various languages properly. So that when you pick up a Bible, you can be sure that you are reading God's word, that God is speaking to your heart. He's gone to a lot of effort to preserve it. It can make the difference between a life of success for us as we serve and minister for him under the leading of his Holy Spirit, or we can miss the message and have a life of spiritual, emotional, and physical pain and failure. And it's all right here in this passage that we're looking at this morning. Everyone in this building has made a choice. Let's go back and look at verse 24 and see if we can figure why Jesus chose to place that at the very beginning of this paragraph. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Did you ever have a job where you had two bosses? Some of us have. One tells you to do something and you do it. You do it to your very best ability. And then the other boss comes along and tells you to do just the opposite thing. And he scolds you or chastises you because you did what the other boss told you to do. Jesus simply stated the truth of fact that no one can serve two masters or two bosses. Jesus had a principle in mind. And because we all have many bosses, he had to finally define what he was talking about. He did this at the end of verse 24. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Now, I hope that everybody here this morning knows who God is. Do you know what mammon is? Mammon describes most of our other bosses. Now some of you are saying, but I'm retired, I don't work anymore, I don't have any boss. Let me tell you something, you got a lot of bosses. Your family's a boss. Sometimes they put pressure on you and to a point that you do what you don't want to do, but you do it because it's for family. Financial pressure can be a boss. It can force you to spend time or invest time that you really don't want to invest in a particular vocation. The peer pressure can be a boss. A lot of us succumb to that. You want to be accepted. You want to conform to what is going on around you, the society that you're involved in. So peer pressure can be a boss. All these things are mammon. Put it under the title here, mammon. Now, as I have gotten older, a lot of my vocabulary has disappeared, or my wife beat it out of me. I don't know which it was. But I have to go back and look things up in the dictionary now. And there's also times that I can't remember a scripture reference that I know is there because I read it somewhere. So I keep two books close to my desk in my office. I keep a dictionary and I keep a concordance. And I have to refer to those quite a bit. And so I had to look up this word mammon. It means mammon has to do with a desire regarded as an object of worship and greedy pursuit. Okay? Greedy pursuit. The word avarice could have a part in that description of mammon. Avarice would be defined as too great a desire to have wealth. Now, about now, I can imagine some of you thinking, well, that lets me out. I'm not greedy of wealth. But do you know how to define wealth? Family could constitute wealth. We're wealthy if we have a big, close family. You could be considered wealthy because you have put away what you think is going to be enough for retirement. Your reputation could be considered a form of wealth. Good reputation, bad reputation. You might even have a wealth of pride. All of these things could be considered different forms of wealth. And there was one part of the definition, mammon. Wealth is an even evil, more or less. Wealth of any kind defined or permitted to take the place ahead of God. Any of these things, family, vocation, financial, they can all be considered different types of mammon. And they can be bosses. So which of these forms of mammon might come between you and God? or God's will for your service. Who gets your first service? Mammon or God? That brings us to verse 34. 34 says, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." What does tomorrow have to do with anything? You tell me. How do we plan our lives? Do we make plans based upon our mammon? Or do we make plans based upon what God has ordained for each of our lives? I believe that our mammon has more to do with influencing our lives and the things and what we do than what God has. That's not intended to be that way, and we don't start out that way. We wake up in the morning and say, you know, put our feet on the floor and say, how am I going to get rich today? No, that's not what most of us do. Most of us put our feet on the floor and say, thank you, God. At least I do. I've got another day. Well, at least part of it. I'm still breathing. I'm vertical. But do we ask God, God, what do you want me to accomplish today? What do you want me to do today that would glorify you? Oh, I got to buy a new dress, or I got to go out and get a new suit. But a lot of times that's what we're thinking. So we spend time with the Lord. We spend time in prayer. We spend time in His Word. And then we go about doing the things we planned to do. And most of them have to do with our life here in this world. What if we did something a little different in the morning? What if we woke up, put our feet on the floor, said, God, show me what you want me to do today for somebody else? Don't hear anything. Father, show me what you want me to do for somebody else today. Still don't hear anything. God, are you listening? And then we begin to pray. That was a prayer. That was a petition that we offered to God. But then we begin to pray. We start thinking about people. People that we know, people that may be around us that we don't know, but people. People that somehow God has brought to our attention. And we begin concentrating on one person or one thing that we can do for God. Now, He doesn't need us to do anything for Him. He's God. He can do everything. Nothing's impossible with Him. But sometimes He gives us the opportunity to share in what He's doing. Be there to see it happening. Be there to see Him working in people's hearts and people's lives. And what if we were to set that as our priority? Some of us still have to work. And so God made the statement in 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order, and that means appropriately and on time. And so if God has put you in a place where you have to work, you have to work. That's as much God's will as going out and preaching on a street corner. But if you could find one thing and set that as your goal for the day, okay, Father, I'll do all the other things I've got to do. I'll work. I'll even wash dishes. And maybe I'll run the vacuum. and I'll make my bed. Now, see, I didn't used to think about these things, but since Connie's been sick, I do think about them. But set one goal for the day. God, I want to do this for you today. Maybe when you get all done with your work, or all done with your chores, or all done with life, you still got time to do that one thing. And if that is the priority, the thing that you are working towards all day, and you can accomplish that, all day long, God will have been your priority. Think of how that might change your life. And what if you found, hey, you know, with God's help, that has been really easy. That's been real easy. Maybe I can do two things for God today. Maybe I can even do one of them while I'm working. And so we begin to set priorities, and we make our priorities a little different. When Connie and I, the Lord, made some statements here about, you know, not worrying about what we're going to eat, not worrying about what we're going to wear. And we know we're not supposed to do that, but we do. Sometimes I wake up and the first thought in my mind is, what am I going to fix for breakfast? I want something different for breakfast today. Not the same old cereal. I don't eat much cereal, folks. But there are times that you and I do what he said we are not supposed to do. Take no thought for the morrow, for the evil thereof is sufficient unto the day. But if we want to get through this day well, and we want to do something for God today, not tomorrow. God wants us to do something for him today, not tomorrow. And so we concentrate on that, and we spend time thinking about that first thing in the morning. And we plan to do that. And we work to do that and get that accomplished. Well, God said, take no thought for the morrow. Don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. When Connie and I were ministering in the camp down in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas, Mexico, kids would come to camp and they would have two outfits. Their everyday outfit and their good outfit that they wore on Friday afternoon when we had the program and the parents came in. And if anything happened to that everyday outfit, it got torn, it got shredded, it got dirty. We did have a washer and dryer so we could wash the kids' clothes occasionally when we had to. But if anything happened to destroy that, then they had to wear their good outfit for the rest of the week. What's that got to do with anything? I doubt that there's anybody here sitting here this morning that didn't have a choice of which shirt to put on or which blouse or which dress. Because God has blessed us abundantly. Not like those little kids. God has taken care of us, which he has promised to do. So why should we worry about that? No, we shouldn't. So where are we at right now? We're at the place where we need to choose which master we want to serve. Because Jesus has told us that we cannot serve two. We have to serve one. Which master are you going to serve? I think that we would like to choose God. So how do we go about that? Well, we need to start by setting our priorities. If God's going to be first, then he has to be first. Ahead of family, ahead of vocation, personal ambitions, pleasure. So I'll sit down with my calendar and I will plan. He didn't say you're not supposed to plan for tomorrow. He said don't worry about it. And so we can make plans decently and in order. I can set out to do something for the God in the morning. Praying for you folks, praying for one another is doing something for God. There's a lot of different ways we can serve. I can set out to do something in the afternoon. One thing in the morning, just for God, and one thing in the afternoon, just for God. Eventually, one thing will lead to two, and before you know it, I'll be doing what that passage that we just read is teaching us to do. Verse 33 tells it all. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things, these things, shall be added unto you. You can do the same thing. It's just a matter of establishing your priorities. You may have a job, but that doesn't mean that you can't get up early and spend time with the Lord. Earlier than maybe you normally would get up. There may be someone in the church family that you could make an investment of your resources in their life and be of help to them. We have people like that. Most churches do. Recently, I've added something to my morning ritual. When I sit up on each side of the bed, I thank my Heavenly Father for another day. Then I ask him, what do you want me to do? And I start thinking my day through. And thinking of all the people that I know that he has blessed me with contact. And eventually, something comes to me that I could do for the Lord. And I make that my priority for the day. If you can make it a priority to do something for the Lord before you do anything else for anybody else, you will begin to make God priority one. Even if you can do just one thing a day to start with, you will be putting God first in your planning, and then as you create that to be a habit, that will change your thinking and your life. You'll be following the path of this verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, oh, how this world traps us. Oh, how this world confuses us. And Father, put a hedge about us, each one of us. Help us to make you priority one. Help us, Father, to look at all of life, all of it, from your standpoint. Help us, Father, to see the opportunities that are ahead of us, that you have provided. And help us, Father, to take advantage of those opportunities, to minister for you, to show others that you do love them, and Father, that you want to have a personal relationship with each one. Use us, Father. Use us here on this earth. Use us here in this community. Use us wherever you place us. to serve you, to minister to the ones you love. And Father, we will praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.